Cast and Crowns already there, WWIB. We're already there on the plus side of zero. Yes, that's the good news that we greet you with this morning. They had projected an 8 below overnight, but instead it's 2 above. So Jason Cairns, it's the start of the best 5 minutes of the day. We start with good news of, temperatures on the plus side of zero. Way to go, huh?
That, you know, it's really a statement when 2 degrees is good news.
Yeah. Yesterday was started at 11 below and went south to 14 below before we got moving in the positive direction. Goodness.
Yeah, I'll take the 2 degrees then.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's cold when you take the dog to the back door and they kind of look and shake their head and go, nah, not today. So.
Yeah, I'll just pee on the floor.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I think that's what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, on this chilly Tuesday morning, we've been starting the new year, 2022, in the book of Colossians. So we start looking at the New Living Translation, and then, but you know, before we dive in, one of my afterthoughts from yesterday, this idea that setting your sights on heaven, and even the way I titled it in the podcast, our segment was kind of living a life of love. And so it's, yes, being heavenly minded. Colossians 3 may be more famous for it. And we'll get there eventually. But there's a reason for it. And so what does that mean? It doesn't mean sitting around and just imagining, a long session of harp music, right? I mean, and yet there is a practical side to this. But what does that mean, like, sitting, you know, thinking of heaven and having an influence this year?
You know, I think we live in a world where there's just so much brokenness and suffering and pain. And to think about the idea of heaven being a place where those things don't exist anymore, physical pain, relational pain, to be in the presence of love himself, to be with God, and one another in a complete way, no division, no separation, and to have that in view, I think, to hold out the hope that is promised to us is to me what it means to be heavenly minded.
That's interesting.
And so I think, again, it comes back to love.
There you go. That's interesting. I think for me too, I mean, I've really been into politics in the past and maybe taking a broader perspective in more recent years, but I think, again, you can be so, what's the contrast is to be so drawn intensely into the things of this earth or this world. And so just taking a higher, noble, you know, as Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, right? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So, all right. Yep. Colossians 1:7-8. And then you hit me up with letters to the beloved, your devotional commentary. Here we go. In the New Living, it says Epaphras, Paul writes, our much-loved co-worker was the one who brought you the good news. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he's helping us in your place. Verse 8, he is the one who told us about the great love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. So how about the letters to the beloved on that?
Yeah, so what I wrote was, the church at Colossae was not planted by Paul, but by another evangelist, Epaphras, a friend and co-laborer with Paul and Timothy. Epaphras laid down the basics of the faith for them, providing a framework for belief built upon my son. That framework provided scaffolding for love to grow within them by the power of my spirit.
So,
you know, as I read
what do we
that,
take away?
I think so often, you know, we read Paul's letters and think, well, yeah, you know, Paul planted all these churches, and he certainly did, but there were a lot of other people at work as well. You know, and as we think in our modern context, you know, there's a lot of laborers for Christ, right? I mean, sometimes people we don't, that, you know, that are unnamed or just doing hard work, doing important kingdom work, even circling back to the question you asked earlier, what does it mean to be heavenly minded? You know, these were people who were going out with this vision of what love would look like believed in the possibility of the kingdom of God here and now, as well as in the future.
Yeah, I thought one of the, and certainly Jesus also famous for saying, you know, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. The harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Mm-hmm. But I mean, also, I think what strikes me, his love for people. I mean, I think in terms of Paul's intense, and one of the ones I like, and maybe someday we'll work our way through Philippians as well, but Philippians 4 starts off like there's six. He talks about, dear brothers and sisters, I love you and long to see you, for you are my joy and the reward for my work.
Yeah.
So please stay true to the Lord, my dear friends. There's like six different references he makes just to people, that deep passion. Hence, it takes us to a place to close this morning that you and I both feel strongly about from John 13, 34, and 35. That was the first of the five chapters you wrote Notes from the Upper Room on, right? The mark of the Christian, love one another as Jesus loved. So,
right. That's how the world will know you are my disciples.
Amen.
You have love for one another.
Yeah,
you
know? And that's more than just the golden rule. I think that's, did Jesus go beyond the golden rule? I think he probably did, so.
Probably, yep.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Stay warm. Our buddy Jason Cans from jasoncans.com.
Well, of all the things that folks who work from home might miss most about their former work life, commuting wouldn't seem to register real high. However, well over a year after many were sent home from the office, some employees have realized that losing that time in the car or on the bus or the train or even on the street biking has had some drawbacks. This is a study from the Harvard School of Business, so pretty prestigious. Assistant Professor John Jakimitz says commuting provides, quote, he sounds smart, a temporal and spatial separation between all the different roles we play. It's kind of maybe that reset time before you get into the office.
Yeah, and we love it in radio because that's this particular hour for years one of the most listened to because of the morning commute, 7 to 8.
Yeah, and I know even I've got a short commute, about 10 minutes, but even that kind of is a time too where you're thinking about the day, getting ready for the day. But also, it's something for me where I realized, man, all that dead time in the car, I actually don't. Radio guy, but I don't turn the radio on because that's time to spend with the Lord. Now I get distracted really, really easily by all sorts of things. But some of that uninterrupted time, I would miss it if I didn't have it. So before the pandemic, the average commute was 38 minutes each way. That is nuts. Not only have many employees lost that buffer that, again, this Harvard professor says they need, but they've also taken on more work because they're not commuting. About an extra 48 minutes of work per day, they're also dealing with more meetings and more communication that spills into off hours because, again, when your home is invaded by your workplace, sometimes that can lead to extra invasion as well.
Maybe they want to just take a walk at some point during the day or
something. And this is what some are doing. This is why we talk about fake, fake commuting. To get back some of that home life, work life separation, some people are fake commuting, meaning they'll hop in their car, on a bus, or on their bike, and they will, quote unquote, travel to work for 20 or 30 minutes, sometimes stopping at a coffee shop like they used to, just to get that feeling back and also, again, to have that little buffer between work life and home life.
Something, you need a break. There you go.
So, again, our work from home crowd, you can always stream us at WWIV.com, mobile or desktop or tablet. But let us know. Do you ever do this? Do you ever say, you know what? I just need to get out of the house for a little bit.
I walk the dogs. That's what I do. Time for Tuesday trivia. And it really is trivia, not a mystery voice today.
Yeah. So we kind of go back and forth. We had a pretty good mystery voice last time. It stumped folks for a bit. We'll see if trivia has the same good fortune today or if you get it right away. Either way, first person to get this query correct wins two things. We've got the album from Leland called Better Word. Fantastic project from them. And also, we have an Ann Wilson t-shirt. Of course, she burst onto the scene with My Jesus in the last year. And we've got a size large, very comfy looking t-shirt from Ann Wilson for you. So those two prizes this morning. The number to call is 715-396-1670, 396-1670. Here's the question without further ado. 1 billion of these are sold in America each year. 1 billion of these are sold in America each year.
So I said hamburgers because it's Tuesday and Wimpy always wanted a hamburger. You know, I'll pay you for a hamburger, whatever. And so that wasn't the right answer. And it kind of made me think of the McDonald's, you know, billions served. So that's not it. But what
1
is it?
Billion. 1 billion of these sold in America each year. 715-723-2555. Tuesday trivia here in the WIB Wake Up Show. For the Leland album, Better Word, and an Ann Wilson size large t-shirt, 715 723-2555. Give us a call. 1 billion. 1 billion of these sold in America each year. We're never going to narrow it down unless we get some incorrect answers. Or, I mean, we could get a ringer on the first. That does happen from time to time. But
any hints? I know you'd like to get some guesses first.
Yeah, I'll give it. I wonder if this is too big of a hint. I'll give it anyway. I got made fun of in college for the way I say this.
Really?
Yeah, for the way I say the name of this item, I got made fun of in college. So 1 billion of these are sold in America each year.
Okay, I was going to give a different hit, that one. All right.
Yeah.
Well, since we have no callers, I'm going to go on top of that and say it is a food item.
Okay, a food item. One billion of these food items are sold in America each year. I was made fun of.
For saying this food item.
Yeah,
for so saying this. So what is it?
What could it be? 715-723-2555.
Putting us perspective, you from Wisconsin went to Ohio for college.
Yeah. So, again, I feel like it's a pretty big hint, but sometimes depending on where you go in the country.
Yeah. Good morning.
Would it be gallons of milk?
Gallons of milk. It is not gallons of milk. However, I can see where you're going with that because there's the milk and the milk and milk and all different ways. Bulk, lots of different ways people pronounce it.
Good morning. What's your guess?
Oh, I was going to guess gallon of milk as well, but maybe packages of sausage.
Oh, well, you know what? Put you on the spot. Try us back. 715-723-2555. So not milk, not sausage. 1 billion of these food items are sold in America each year.
Good morning.
I would say bagels.
You would say bagels, yes. Yeah. You are absolutely correct.
I debate over the pronunciation of this with my students quite frequently.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. And I'm trying to remember because I think I say bagels. But then people from out east that I went to school with, it's bagel. Huh. And I'm like, that doesn't sound right. But, yeah, they would make fun of me endlessly. So bagel, whatever you say, rhymes with Lauren Daigle, in my opinion. And 1 billion of these sold in America each year. What's your name? Where are you calling from today?
This is Lori, and I'm calling from Eau Claire.
Lori from Eau Claire, and where do you teach?
Messiah Lutheran School.
Nice. All right, shout out to Messiah Lutheran. Lori, we've got prizes for you. Congratulations, great job.
Thank you.
All right, that's Tuesday Trivia here on the WIB Wake Up Show. You never know what the question is going to be or what clues we may give to help you get it.
Jordan St. Cyr, Weary Traveler on WWIB. I recommended that to a friend who was struggling last week, and she said, you know, that's the perfect song. Thank you so much. So that one really, tell you what, I'm driving my car listening to Caleb. I don't know if you get this, but it's like, you know, we work here and we hear the song, but it's something powerful, like when you're in your car and it's just you, the Lord, and the tune, and it's just like, boom. And that one has smacked me a couple of times.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I'm listening, say, you know, to Greg or Michelle or more when I'm out in the car listening to Paul or Betsy, and I'll hear a song with new ears because I'm not playing it. I'm listening to it, just like all of you in the WIB family. And there's so many times where it's, wow, God does something where I hear it differently. And we hope that the Lord's doing the same thing when you're out and about listening as well.
All right. Good morning. We've got a full studio this morning. Caleb and I with the WIB Wake Up Show, but we've got Kat Morgan and Matt Kinzera from Fierce Freedom. Good morning.
Good morning.
Top of the morning, Mark.
Yes, top of the morning to the man with the deep resonant tones over here.
That's right. You get me in the morning, they're even deeper. So
then we bring Matt in and it kind of lowers the collective octave of the morning show. So we've got an event coming up and very appropriate that you guys are here on Human Trafficking Awareness Day.
Yes.
With all that Fierce Freedom does. There's always opportunities to engage with you in person, with presentations on your social media, with your podcast, on your website. But also, there's a bigger event coming up on the 27th.
Yeah, that's right. It's the Real Faces of Human Trafficking world premiere. So this is a film and training that we have developed over the last couple years. And so, Matt was part of kind of getting this all together and getting the filming done. And so we basically are going to tell the story of a former buyer as well as a former victim of trafficking. And then we'll also lay out sort of a 101 of what does trafficking really look like? What are some of those myths? And then we're going to dispel those. And so it's going to be really great, really informative, but hopefully very compelling as well.
So it's going to be like a that January 27th is the main reason you're here to tell us about this. And the Mabel Tanner, a wonderful historic site to launch this thing.
Yeah, I love the Mabel. I love, like, old theaters. Uh-huh. And so we just thought, let's try somewhere new. We've never done anything of the Mabel Tainter, and we've never really done a big event in Menominee either. And we thought, boy, our Eau Claire crew could get up there and then make ourselves available to Menominee. And so, yeah, we're going to premiere this at the Mabel Tainter, this beautiful historic theater, and show the video and also just show kind of what our plan is with it. So, go ahead.
When you talk about this again, so a film that you've been working on for a while, The Real Faces of Human Trafficking, who would you say this is an appropriate audience for? When we're talking whole families, are you talking a certain age and above? What guidelines might you give to parents who would say this is important for our children to watch, but is there kind of an age-appropriate level?
Yeah, that is a great question, Caleb. So this is, I would recommend, and obviously you as a parent know the maturity of your child, so I would say no younger than 12. I would say 12 and plus. And just realizing, though, too, that this could be developed as a training in the future for, like, any kind of industry leader. So if there are business owners wanting to come, yes, I would say individuals who want to come, but also business owners. And you're thinking, how can I have a training that I give to my, you know, my people? This would be a great, you know, jumping point if you want to see kind of what that material is.
Yeah, because the deal is that Kat and Matt and the rest of our team, we can't be everywhere. And that's kind of how Fierce Freedom has run to this point. We go out and do presentations. We do all these live events. Real Faces of Human Trafficking is really meant to be put in the hands of business owners, church leaders, ministry leaders, so that they can actually facilitate this training. And so it just makes it available to anybody throughout the entire world, really.
Right. And we've already had, a faith partner that has really wanted to take this to their church and has really been running with it. So we're really excited to see kind of what their feedback is as well.
And they're also taking it to local hotels, which is a huge place that we need to, That's that awareness to happen.
Place of trafficking.
About how long is it?
So the film itself is about an hour, but we'll also probably, you know, have time for a little bit of question answer. You'll have the chance to ask us anything really at the end, and how you can really implement this film.
One of the stars, Kat Morgan, is going to be with us that evening. Wow. And so we want to make sure we get her in front of the crowd for the premiere. So she'll probably come in on the red carpet. She'll be all dolled up.
Paparazzi.
Yeah.
If you can get an interview.
I'll have to ask. I mean, she charges a lot for her autographs. Yeah. So I don't know if we've got that kind of crowd that's going to be there, Mark.
I don't know if that's worth it.
Again, The Real Faces of Human Trafficking, this film premiere from Fierce Freedom, January 27th, 6:30 p.m. at the Mabel Tainter Theater in Menominee. $6 tickets available at MabelTainter.org. And you mentioned just how important it is for folks to be able to come and see, hey, is this something that I could then bring to my church group, small group business? What about schools? Is that something that you would really love to see some school administrators be able to come experience this as well?
Yeah, we actually have a completely different program called Worth It that we're in the middle of piloting right now that's going to go live in the fall. And it's a program designed for teenagers. And we're just going to be starting actually later this spring doing an elementary school program. So we actually have two programs that are designed specifically for young people. This is a program that if you didn't want to bring in a live person like we do with Worth It, this is certainly a program that could work for teenagers though as well.
Fantastic. And again, you guys are right here in Altoona and making a big local impact. But I mean, obviously with tools like this and other things you've done, I mean, some of the impact of Fierce Freedom reverberates out much further, right?
Yeah, we're absolutely, I mean, I know Jenny struggles with this because she, you know, it's this little engine that she started, Jenny Almquist, you know, 10 years ago, 14 years ago. So it's hard for her to wrap her mind around this. But when I came in, I said, Jenny, this is a national organization. And just a little while ago, I was helping video, you guys did like a kind of a keynote for an international conference. So I would even say that Fierce Freedom is global? It's Fierce Freedom Global at global this point. Yeah.
But global headquarters right here in Altoona.
If you look at our podcast reach, we are reaching globally too, which is really exciting. But also what's really cool too is that, you know, my specific role is community program specialist, and then Matt's is national program specialist. So we're still very committed to our roots here in this community. We love this community. We're supported by so many individuals here. And so we're definitely still rooted here. But as Matt said, we also are growing, and we also are able to have more of an impact nationally and somewhat internationally.
So the place to get the tickets then for January 27th, only $6. So
Yeah, just go to the MabelTainer.org.
Very good. And Fierce Freedom's website is?
FierceFreedom.org.
Very good. Simple. Very good, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having us. We appreciate it.
Yes, we'll see you all there.
Let's pack it out at the Mabel Tainter, January 27th. All right, this is a lead story in a network newscast I woke up to around 4 o'clock this morning. The first pig-to-human heart transplant has taken place.
Yeah, I mean, and this is all over the place now, too. This came from Baltimore, Maryland. This man in Maryland, Dave Bennett, was the first person to receive a gene-edited pig heart as part of an organ donation. Kind of an unlikely donor there. He underwent the surgery at the University of Maryland Medical Center in hopes that, again, he'd make it back home, home to his dog. He got the new heart after a 9-hour operation that placed the heart from a 1-year-old, 240-pound gene-edited pig that was bred specifically for organ donation for humans.
Wow, that is just stop and take that in, right? A gene-edited pig bred specifically for organ donation. And this is the first one.
Yeah, again, we think about breeding pigs to make better bacon and sausage. Mm-hmm. But when you think about the many thousands, tens and tens of thousands of people that are waiting for transplants right now, this could be an incredibly huge blessing, this breakthrough, if it is indeed one, to be able to use this heart from pig to replace a failing one in a human.
Yeah, you just follow, you know, if you see kind of a timeline of modern medical breakthroughs, right? I mean, and, you know, when was the first heart transplant? And now to do this, the first pig-to-human heart transplant, I mean, it's really, really something. Yeah, they say more than 100,000 people sitting on transplant wait lists. So Godspeed to him. Dave, we hope it works out, and we hope you have a nice, long life as a result of that. So.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I just see every medical breakthrough, everything where you see these incredibly skilled hands of medical professionals, including surgeons, as just echoes of the excellence of the creator, right? It's just when there's creativity and there's things where it's like, wow, look what humanity has done. Well, it's not humanity. It's just it's echoing the creativity of the one who made everything. And we give him the glory and the praise.
Yeah, what he has allowed us to do and the minds and the abilities he's given us, right? And I got to say, the way my mind works, though, I mean, as great as this was, this medical breakthrough, right away I'm thinking of the joke, like, and then he started oinking. I mean, you know what?
Yeah,
whatever.
I know.
I mean,
it does birth all kinds of humor opportunities.
Right.